Well, hello there. Come in, please, take a seat. Could I get you a drink, or perhaps even a room for the evening? I see, you're here for a story, or some enlightenment for a future adventure in your life. Well, fear not, my friend. You have come to the right place. Welcome to the Bardic Inspiration.
We're discussing Nagas today.
Nagas are immortal snake people. They were essentially created by the Sarkun, as far as Forgotten Realms is concerned. Or as we know them now, as the Saurians.
Yep. Mortal guardians created by a humanoid race of ancient times.
Yeah.
Long lost to history.
And then it's that long lost race that kind of spirited the idea of all of these, like, lizard scaled like creatures. They took creatures from that dark or from the ancient times and gave them sentience, gave them life. So Naga, Zionti, lizard folk, troglodytes, petrifolk, or I'm sorry, terrafolk. But today we're talking specifically the Nagas, the enemies of the Yonti.
Are they in any sense like directly connected? I know they're enemies, but do they have like specific origins that they share?
Just the creator. Yeah, which is kind of ironic because they both worship the same person differently. Much like how there's different religions and they worship essentially the same kind of being, but
right.
There's different ideas about it.
Basically,
it's the same idea with the Naga and then the Yonti.
Basically the difference between Greek and Roman.
Yeah,
that's a good way.
Exactly. Yeah, that's a very good way. Typically, Nagas are snakes. Really, really large snakes. Anywhere from like 10 to 20 feet, estimate 200, 500 pounds-ish.
Very frightening creatures, no doubt.
Yes. The very off-putting thing is the human-like faces that these creatures hold. They have a gaze that's kind of... What's the snake from Jungle Book? They've got
Ka.
Ka, yeah. So they got his kind of like...
I kind of imagine more Jafar at the end of Aladdin.
Yeah. That's actually a very good one.
Yeah.
Of
course, very fitting for the spirit Naga, who prefers to lure victims in with their alluring charms.
Yes.
Something to make them even more frightening is their immortality.
Yeah. They are immortal, given to them through the Saurians, as we mentioned earlier. They have been immortal. Every time they die, they resurrect in a couple more, a couple days or so. The only way, and this is how bone Nagas are created, are the Yontai do a very necromantic ritual to stop that life and forever bind them into this undead form.
Which creates the very fearsome bone Naga.
Yes. Now, speaking of these different Nagas, 5e is what we mostly focus on, which have the Bone Naga, the Guardian Naga, and the Spirit Naga. Well, before that, there were other Nagas. There's one other quote-unquote true Naga, which was the Water Naga, which was seen in previous editions, such as 3.5 and 4, I believe. So I quoted that the Guardians, Water and Spirit, are like the true Nagas. Well, the Dark, the Bone, and any other creations you kind of come up with are more of a resemblance. Like, for example, a Dark Naga is essentially a Guardian Naga, the lawful evil turned, or a lawful good turned evil, a Guardian Naga evil, which, could be a very interesting plot point.
You never know. I mean, many, like, lawful good or lawful creatures tend to flip-flop.
Yeah, we're slowly seeing that with Salitho in our home game. Speaking of past editions, they used to be considered aberrations with their high intelligence and their weird forms. But as far as 5e, they are considered monstrosities now. They have...
Perhaps more because of their snake-like features rather than their human ones.
And it seems like with each edition, they kind of lose that human-like feature and like that humanoid face and so on and so forth.
Yeah, it's more like face nowadays.
More snake, yeah.
Face is creepy anyway.
Now, most Nagas worship Skinister. I could be pronouncing it entirely wrong. I do that all the time.
No, he's the shedding skin god.
No.
Too late. He's Skinister.
It's a she, actually.
Oh, well. Oh, that's even weirder.
It's a she, Saurian. And that's the whole idea behind it. there are specific, but we've talked about them, but how different are these spirit Nagas and guardians?
Guardian Nagas tend to be more of the benevolent kind. They safeguard the ancient treasures of the people that created them, from what I understand.
What about the spirit guardians, Jake?
No, I was more curious, if anything, what exactly does the spirit mean into it? I'm assuming they're physical beings, if anything, so why is it a spirit?
Maybe it's like rumor, you know, it's lurking in the shadows before it attacks. It's revengeful, much like a revengeful spirit. I mean, most people stay around because they have unfinished business.
They're constantly plotting vengeance against creatures that they believe have wronged them, even mm-hmm. if falsely so.
Well, I'd imagine a lot of people have tried killing these things.
Which is against them. Great background, by the way. Just want to
being
throw
chased
that...
by a spirit Naga.
Mm-hmm.
Oh God!
So one of my first campaigns, I had retired my first character. He had completed his life goal, which was to restore. It was a dwarf who restored honor to his name and his house. Well, then I started up a ranger who was initially part of a different party, not the one that we were playing with, and his party, most of it died by a spirit Naga, but they eventually killed them. Well, they didn't know enough information that they're immortal.
Mm.
So I kind of talked with the DM at the time and, you know, setting up this plot point, and then unfortunately the campaign fell apart before we could get into it. It was a great plot point because although we didn't ever directly associate with the spirit Naga any further, there were still some hints that the DM kind of threw in, like we would see
an eye in the bush.
Well, not really an eye in the bush, more like minions to a spirit Naga that would come after us, and they would have information, or I would recognize the name of the spirit Naga we were chasing, or stuff like that, or not being chased, but essentially at this point being stalked by.
So one thing that the spirit Naga does remind me a little bit about, that vengeance, that plotting, it kind of reminds me of the beholder in a way. It's a paranoia, it's plotting, it's vengeance.
Yeah.
I see you get weird.
Yeah, I can definitely see that.
It has that charisma to like persuade a minion or a person in the village to watch those people.
Another similarity between Nagas and beholders, they both epitomize themselves as the right. most superior version of their species.
Yeah.
The most superior race, period.
Yes.
I mean, that's why Nagas and the Onti are such great enemies, is because they both see themselves as the pinnacle of their evolution. The
pinnacle of creation, yes.
Yeah.
I think it would be rather interesting to see a spirit Naga go up against the beholder. Imagine the warfare between those two.
I'd rather see
I actually
Nagas
would love to
Onti.
See that. Like, just two characters playing, and, you know, you gotta have a DM, so just Ooh. The mediator.
Yeah.
And just go head versus head, because I mean, although the we're getting a little off topic, but although the beholder has the eye stalks that had the extra abilities to do, you know, that chance to paralyze it yeah. or turn it to stone.
What's a beholder's eye raise against immortality?
I was gonna say, well, if you turn it to stone, it's immortal, but it's stuck in stone. It's
yeah,
that is fair.
But it has such great stats, at least as far as the 5e stat block, that it's likely to make those saving throws. So mm-hmm. it would be a nice, interesting... And then there's the other thing.
Who would win out on that?
My guess would be the Naga.
Yeah?
Stay in the eye.
Yeah?
Stay in the eye cone.
Yeah, I mean, even it'll knock out all its spells, but it'll still get that up in front of
the
you.
Poison just... damage straight
exactly.
up.
Exactly.
Straight up in front of it.
Yeah. I think eventually, though, the beholder would be wise up to that and just close it.
I think the beholder would fly or hover higher.
Distance. Yeah. I would, yeah, basically have it to where, honestly, I would say he would just keep the Naga, let it use its magic, but I think
keep the
holder's
Naga
magic would end up eventually outweighing everything it can do.
Then again, it does have some great spells like Gaius, Banishment.
That being
monster,
said, though, just
blight,
imagine
though.
A guardian Naga raiding a beholder's lair for artifacts that this beholder has stolen on behalf of its people.
Well, no, that's the thing with guardian Nagas. They would hire someone else.
Yeah. I'm saying that the guardian Nagas have those connections to have go to let
true.
People go out. People who would better be able to handle enemies like that. All in all, Nagas are a rather interesting race.
I kind of want to know what I think it's more up to DM interpretation, but what is that necromantic ritual that the Yanti do to transform it into a bone naga?
That's a very good question.
Like, does it take sacrifice of one of its own people? Does it...
they just skin the naga.
Well,
for sure.
Acid pit, maybe.
You know, I question, though, is the ritual specifically binding the whole of the naga? Can it regenerate from someone else?
I do feel like the ritual, the whole point of the ritual is to stop that immortality.
Well, yeah, because if you transform something into an undead creature, how does it resurrect from
But then
that?
That's the question. Is it forever immortal as an undead, or do you kill a bone naga and it's just dead?
Does it come back as a naga, or does it come back as a bone naga?
Yeah, see, that's...
I imagine that since it completely halts the resurrection process, if you kill the bone naga, it doesn't return, unless you raise it from the dead again.
Oh, that's good.
Like, true resurrection could probably bring it back, or a wish spell.
And give it back its...
That would be kind of cool,
and give it back
it?
Either its true form, or just bring it back as the bone naga.
Speaking of wish spell, that's the only, well, the second way to get rid of nagas, period. You know, to stop that...
This is true effect. Stops the rejuvenation. Yeah. Stops the reincarnation or resurrection.
I'm just curious, wish can do almost anything.
How does a naga rejuvenate?
Very slowly. I imagine it's very much like Wolverine's.
Okay, then that brings up the other question. I would say, if that's the case, if you were to chop it up in a million pieces, or it got chopped up and scattered. Will each of those regenerate, or just one? And if you stop that one, will it regenerate from another one?
It's a Deadpool scenario.
Right.
Yeah, well, Deadpool, Captain Jack Harkness.
Oh, yeah.
Well, he lost his head and didn't regenerate the whole body. So
yeah. To take from the
situation altogether.
To take from the Monster Manual, Inaga's immortal spirit reforms in a new body in a matter of days. So,
wow.
Even if the body is completely obliterated.
Disintegrated.
Yes,
why I
exactly.
Need to read books.
Then I imagine after the few days, its spirit chooses a body that reforms around itself. It basically materializes a new one from nothing.
So just like true resurrection or resurrection.
Pretty much.
Comes, boom, brand new body.
It just decides to come back to life.
Now, what if you used reincarnation?
On a naga?
On a naga. Does it retain its mortality, or does it just ignore it and... See, it would be a really good... You take a naga...
I mean,
that'd be cruel.
To be fair, you lose all the racial traits you have. So if resurrection is part of the racial trait, it gains the racial traits of the new form.
Of the new form. So,
this is, of course, assuming the reincarnate spell works on the naga.
That's
humanoid.
You
touch a dead humanoid.
It's humanoid in face.
It's got to be a party pooper.
Hey, that's where DM... any DM is like, no, it's a guideline.
We just wanted to help you DMs out there. So
yeah,
yay.
That is true. It is supposed to be humanoid in form for the reincarnation spell to work. However, if you're a fun DM like me,
I would say anything like truly sentient, if anything, could do it.
That is a good way to put that.
Like, it has full intelligence to be aware of this.
Just a creature of any type,
of anything. Yeah.
Just imagine.
I mean, if a highly intelligent naga can end just turning into an elf,
because you could change a weapon.
I would. It just imagine non-sentience.
Want to see that?
Sentient
weapons,
guys.
All right, let's get back to the nagas.
You mean artifacts, right?
Yeah.
I want to see that. That sounds amazing.
No, but that I say the sentient limit, because otherwise,
how would you break?
Imagine reincarnating a gelatinous cube into a guardian naga.
They don't have any sentience, though.
Exactly. That's why I'm saying the sentience rule is there.
Yeah.
That's why. Yeah. I mean, if anything, you can always just say if it has an intelligence of some such as mechanic-wise to make sure that way you just take something that knows what's happening to go into a new form.
Okay.
How often do nagas work together? I mean, as far as spirit naga to spirit naga or guardian naga to guardian naga, do they work together?
I would say guardians would. But spirit nagas are kind of like Nathaniel's mention of the beholders, where they're very secluded to themselves.
Okay.
They don't trust anyone else.
Well, I was just like, I was thinking of the fact that if a naga were to be chasing someone or someone's, numerous amounts would eventually maybe get to it if it has the intent and help.
Yeah.
Well, considering how benevolent guardian nagas are, they would be more likely to work together. However, Something I do believe would get in the way of that is the fact that, like beholders, they're narcissistic. They believe themselves more superior. Whether or not that extends to a guardian Naga believing itself far superior than other guardian Nagas, I would leave that to the discretion of the DM.
I actually kind of like the fact that you said bring a party together, and spirit Nagas would be a good, like, other than a god bringing a group together or something along those lines, a actual creature like a spirit Naga, or not a spirit Naga, even a spirit Naga with a evil campaign or something along those lines would bring a group together to go out and do, yeah,
chromatic dragons do evil grouping up together,
do good. That would be kind of cool. It's a very powerful creature, and
you get enough of them, you know, they can pretty much take over whatever the hell they want. Keep coming back.
Well, that's why I think they're more of kind of a rare race. You know, there's not a whole lot of them left.
It's much the same as what dragons would be in this.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what I'm saying. If they were to become as bad in the sense of having a giant team put
together. Overpopulation of Naga or Nagi.
That's actually a good question. How do they populate? Do they just...
I imagine just very much like snakes.
I would have been of the opinion that they do not reproduce, considering they're created from these.
Yeah,
they're immortal guardians created by this ancient humanoid race.
Yeah, so that's true,
and that's up to the DM too.
The more bone Nagas that get made, the less actual Nagas.
Or wished
which
away.
Could turn or into a away. Which could turn into a fair plot point. Imagine there was a collection of guardian Nagas lording over, or trying to keep the last vestiges of their ancient empire safe, but then this group, this evil cult, comes in trying to kill them off so they can keep all that treasure to themselves.
Like.
And these guardian Nagas are recruiting people to aid them to prevent these people from killing off the rest of their species and killing off the last vestiges of this ancient empire.
I've noticed that the difference between the spirit Naga and the guardian Nagas seem to have more of a non-direct spell casting.
Yes, it says that they prefer to charm their opponents.
Yeah.
Unlike the guardian Naga, who has their spit poison ability.
Yeah. They make their enemies either go away or... I mean, they do have some ability to cause damage with their spells.
Yeah.
But most of the time, it's more of a bane or boon.
It's
kind
an
of.
Indirect.
Indirect.
Yeah, the different... They're both rather indirect. A guardian Naga would rather persuade their enemies to leave them alone, but they will fight if necessary.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, the spirit Naga would charm their opponents into approaching, luring them into a false sense of security before dealing with them swiftly.
That'd be great. Just a group of bards, as we are, just kind of going to a guardian Naga and kind of persuading him to join their cause.
Yeah, just imagine that, a guardian Naga traveling with a party of PCs.
Right?
Can we ride on his back?
It's a train of, yeah, exactly. Yeah,
I imagine it more like the old
train, more like a train wreck.
No, like so you have the carriage, but it's being guarded by the PCs. But inside the carriage is like the suite or the older civilizations where they used to carry the queen or the princess
around.
Chariot.
Oh, okay.
Chariot. Yeah. Well,
literally carry.
Yeah. Well, I don't mean the PCs do that, but I meant that same kind of idea where
because
they're guarding this guardian who has actually.
Guarding. Yeah.
After all,
guardian.
I don't imagine a Naga would lower itself to the standard of dragging the PCs around.
As Nate says, they find themselves superior to any other race. So, just being lazy.
Would a guardian Naga become that lazy to where it would no longer be
maybe
care
it's
what
a
it was
snake.
To? Yeah, that's true.
A sentient snake.
Very, very smart snake. So, find me the warmest place in the desert. That's where I'll guard, and I'm just in the
forever. And bring me some tea with a lemon wedge. With a side of meat.
Dragon ale.
Okay.
That is true. They do tend to prefer the flesh of living beings.
Yes. Yeah. Even guardian Nagas. Interesting.
So here's another plot point. So you got two spirit Nagas who are invading each other. Are they ever locked in an internal battle?
Like, one kills the other and just rejuvenates back. I think they would not want that, though.
No, to get the other one out.
But for some reason, Wizard breaks free and just wishes the other one dead.
Both these Nagas are gone.
Right.
For some reason, this reminds me of an Ouroboros sort of situation, where one's trying to eat the other while the other's trying to eat the other.
Yeah, that's where I was kind of getting, that's where I stemmed the idea from, was having, but instead of a good and an evil, it's just two evil ones.
Yeah.
And they're fighting, and now you've got...
They have, like, armies to their will.
Talk about infighting.
You've got the East Spirit Naga versus the West Spirit Naga.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
The Wicked Naga.
And then the North Guardian Naga and the South Guardian Naga.
I just realized
that's
the Wicked Naga of the West.
So I mean, unless you guys have any other brilliant ideas, I think that's all we have for today. Thank you, Nate. Until next time.
Thank you for staying at the Bardic Inn. If you would like to hear more, we will be uploading new content Thursdays at noon PST on
iTunes, YouTube, SoundCloud, Castbox, and Podbean.
If you have any recommendations on future content, you can leave a comment on these various platforms, or you can contact us on Twitter at The Bardic Inn, or on Facebook at facebook.com/Bardic Inn.
We're your local bards,
Daniel,
Andrew,
Dave,
and Jake.
Be inspired.